Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Mother Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you as always. And well, what the hell is going on here as the markets continue to zip around in this consolidation pattern? And did you notice Monday look just like Friday? It's just another sign of things starting to change, but the markets are consolidating. And, you know, again, we're not going to step out and say this is the right time because we don't have an accurate footprint. I think longer term we have a footprint, but again, our objective is to wait until we get the best of it, or at least we feel like we have the best of it, and then we can get involved. But until then, why rush and why fight? You know, one of the things is interesting in life is, you know, fighting very rarely gets you anywhere. Okay. Whether you're fighting as a bully, wherever you're fighting, typically it's usually not worth the fight. You can usually find a better solution. So when it comes to the markets, they call it fighting the tape. And there's no reason to fight the tape. Trust me, I'm telling you from experience, fighting is typically a losing battle. Because, you know, you can win once in a while, but once you beat it, you think you can always beat it, and it becomes a much uglier deal for you, the individual. And again, you know, the names are changed to protect the innocent. When I give you stuff on air here, I'm talking to you not in theory. I am not the Federal Reserve that only knows theory how to read a book. I'm talking to you from hand-to-hand combat, real-life trading, and where I got my ass kicked. Okay, so I'm hoping that you learn off of my ass that you got to be careful how you do things, because at the end of the day, if you're not, you're going to find yourself getting your slapped around a little bit, and it's not a good feeling. A, it doesn't feel good to lose the money. B, it emotionally drains you because you get involved and then you don't know how to get out. And at the end of the day, if you continue to fight, what you're really doing is you're taking away opportunities from a later date when you don't have to fight, okay? And it'll become much easier. So keep that in mind the next time you think that you're smarter than the market, and realize that we're not. Nobody is, okay? You know, we can hear a lot of good reasons. We can get a lot of good stuff, okay? We can get it all right? There's always things out there, but remember where you're getting the information from. When you hear it on TV, you're usually getting information that a broker is giving you that is really meant not to misguide you, but it's really they're talking their book and hoping you get involved. When you hear it from a major bank, they have an agenda. When you hear it from me, I have no agenda, okay? Because I'm here to teach. I'm a big advocate of education, as you know or don't know, because I'm a guy that wants people to learn. I want financial literacy in this country. I want our children to be financially literate, which is why I sponsor and pay for myself a high school program. Now, if anybody knows, anybody wants to help sponsor it with me, step up, baby. I can use the help. I'm getting a little bit too big. But at the end of the day, you can't fight. You can't dictate human emotion or what the markets are going to do. Now, if you've learned anything in life, okay, there's always a time and a place to pick your battle. So isn't it better, and put this into your own personal life, into maybe a relationship, okay? Now, why do big fights happen and why do relationships get torn up and end? Well, because you both are fighting against the tape, so to speak, because you're fighting at the wrong time, okay? And that is a problem that we have to learn, because human emotion, human beings tend to react too quickly, okay? Human emotions tend to create bad feelings because we're acting in the spur of the moment, very much like what happens in the markets. They act at the spur of the moment based on that human emotion. And again, we know from history that that is typically the wrong way to go. Okay, you know, we're not fighting out a war to the death. In investing, you're fighting a war to make money. So why put yourself at a disadvantage in a relationship? You're hoping that fighting to save that relationship. But there's always a good time to pick and choose better. And then, you know, at work, you know, it's never good to fire anybody based on an emotional decision. Now, again, if you really believe that that person needs to be fired, you need to do it calmly at a later point in time. But you should never do it in the heat of the battle. You know, one of the things I teach everybody is before you act, think. Okay? We have some standard rules here, and it's learn, think, use logic, and walk through the trade or walk through the argument. Okay? Before you open that yap ears, make sure you know where you're going, what you want to say, and how you want to say it. You know, it goes back to the social media deal where people are out blasting people on social media. And, you know, once you put it out there, you can't take it back. Okay? So, you know, again, be careful to what you do, because if you put it out there, you can't get it back. You know, you can't. They may say that it's never too late to say you're sorry, but believe me, and you know, I don't know if everybody's like that, but it's hard to always, it's sometimes easy to forgive, but it's hard to ever forget. So remember that the next time you do something, when you're looking at the market and you're thinking about fighting something, think about it. Does this give me the best chance to succeed? And that's really what we're about, is about looking for success. And that's always, you know, our teaching and our preaching right here on the Reverend Bubba Show is, you know, let things happen and then react to them. You cannot, I cannot force something to happen that is not going to happen. Because when you do, you force yourself into the old toilet. And nobody wants to be in the toilet. It's not a fun place to be. So you have to make sure that in life you are in control. And that is a hard thing to do, okay? It's, you know, ego always gets the best of us. And that's why I warn that you don't let your ego get in the way, because anybody who's got too big of an ego will generally end up getting beat, because eventually somebody smarter than them will get around and knock the crap out of them, you know, in their own way, whether it be financially or whatever, because somebody who can control or has an ego that they can keep in control will always put themselves in a better spot to be successful, knowing, because again, we always know the old story. There's always somebody taller, skinnier, better looking, more money. Name it, there's always somebody who's got more. Okay? So if you use your mind, if you use your head, and that applies nothing more than anything in trading or investing, you need to find a way to always secure your best position. When you take yourself out of position, you end up in the crapper. And that's one of the reasons we talk about hedging all the time here on The Bubba Show, is because if you learn how to hedge your portfolio, then guess what? You never have to have an emotional decision. There is no emotional moments when you're hedged. You don't care. You don't want to lose a little bit of money, which you can lose a little bit, but you know that at the end, you're not going to be destroyed. And that becomes the more important deal in life, is knowing that you're not going to be destroyed. And that's what we have to focus on all the time here at The Bubba Show, is to stay in control. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we are going to come back, but you know, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. And check out the downloadable version of The Bubba Show, the podcast. We've got over 200,000 downloads now, and we're looking to move to 300,000. I want you to be part of that. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Bubba Average Joe. But in the meantime, remember our friends at Thinkorswim, okay? They do a great job. Go check out their swim lessons, okay, with my buddies. And they will be happy to share with you, Scott and Kevin, when they do their swim lessons. So go check it out at Thinkorswim. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop by here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out. And, you know, I'll tell you. You know me. They call me the bitch because nobody likes to bitch more than I do. But I bitch with good reason. I mean, again, I'm not just looking things to bitch for. I just, you know, I find things disturbing. And I find nothing more disturbing than that joker, Christine Lagarde, the IMF, hoping for more negative interest rates around the world. Now, think about this. Okay, as you listen to me, and whether you agree or not about the Federal Reserve and the central banks, I think you'll find that a lot of my proof or evidence or comments are fairly factual as to the way this system actually works. But I don't argue with anybody. I mean, listen, one thing about life, we all have our entitled to our opinion. I don't have any problem with anybody else's opinion. You know, you disagree. Hey, that's all well and good. I don't have a problem with you disagreeing with me. But again, you know, my experience tells me, because I was originally a fence sitter or a pole sitter, or I didn't know any better. You know, years and years and years ago, I didn't know any better. Okay. But as I learn and as I get more involved and I start to see things, I can see where the logic of the Fed conspiracy theorists makes sense. Now, I'm not telling you to be a conspiracy theorist. I'm not telling you that, you know, but I do believe, and I think nothing has proved it more than the last 7 years at how dumb they really are. Okay. Nothing has proved more in the last 7 years what a bunch of imbeciles we're dealing with when it comes to actually working it. Now, interesting enough, Paul Volcker, who was the Fed, the last, I would say, decent Fed chair, said that, hey, you know, the problem with economists is we don't get it until it's over. Okay. So at least he's willing to admit that he doesn't have a clue. Now, why they don't have a clue, I guess they're not wired that way, I guess, is when you become an economist, you're not wired to think ahead of the curve. You're taught to think about it in an abstract view afterwards. But unfortunately, especially in finance, okay, when it comes to losing your ass, we need to have people who can kind of think about it ahead of time. Okay, and I don't mean that nobody can outguess the economy. I mean, you know, but you have an idea. And so anyways, Christine Lagarde over the weekend says, well, we need more negative interest rates. I go, are you crazy? I mean, I was on CNBC Asia on Sunday night and I go, are you kidding me? What is this? More negative interest rates? You got to be out of your mind. They are taking apart this country brick by brick. Okay. Why? Because they're cutting down all the spending because nobody's got any money to spend. Okay. If you don't believe that, just look around. Okay, if you don't believe that we got bigger problems, then, you know, and I don't wish bad problems on anybody. I want everybody to be good and to be happy and make money. Life is a much happier place when there's people that are making money, everybody's making money, because the crime's a lot lower, killings are a lot lower. But of course, what do we got? We got higher killings and higher crime. I don't know. But so what the hell does she think's going to do if they go to negative interest rates? Now, here's the very same person who said a couple weeks ago, well, let's not manipulate currencies anymore. Well, what the hell do you think she's doing now? She's manipulating everything. And to me, it's an absolute stone joke that, you know, they call the three blind mice, which is Bernanke, Greenspan, and Yellen. I don't know, what do you call the fourth blind mice? I mean, you know, the head dog? I don't know. Because none of them have a clue as to what is going on in or around them. And interesting enough, the Fed chair from Dallas, Kaplan, says, well, we need to build infrastructure. And I go, oh, really? We need infrastructure? Well, where the hell you been for the last 7 years? I mean, are you guys sitting on your ass doing nothing? We needed infrastructure. 7 years ago, I said that let's take that money you're going to give to the banks and let's put it into the work in the system and rebuild the country and rebuild the infrastructure. Gee, what a shot. What a plan that would have been. Gee, you think we would have been out of the recession by now? Do you think everybody making money? But no, it was too easy to do that. They had to make it complicated and print $4 trillion, destruct your currency, make it worth a lot less. Okay, and here you are now, 7 years later, yeah, the market's still up. But how many of you actually, by a show of hands, well, I can't see it, but we can imagine, by a show of hands, how many have really, truly benefited from the last 7 years? And if you have, God bless you. You know, listen, Dr. Mark Faber, gloom, doom, and boom, said, hey, look, I benefited a lot. I made a lot of money because I held because I knew what they were doing. But that doesn't make them smart. and it makes it the collapse going to be all that much bigger. And of course, there I agree with him 100% that the overall collapse will be much bigger when it happens. And why is that? Again, look, I'm not predicting doom and gloom. I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy. Okay? I'm a guy that believes in telling it straight and talking to you as, you know, real people that you are, okay? And, you know, my real, you know, listeners and friends and acquaintances, and say, hey, look, we have a problem here and it needs to be solved. But the only way it will get solved is if the people in charge get off their ass. And none of them are willing to get off their ass. That is the bigger problem. You know, that goes back to what I've asked months ago. Where did the pride go in this country of being number one, of being the kings of the world? Yes, we are still the best in the world, but do you want to be the best of a bad lot or you want to be the best of the best? And that's always the question you have to ask yourself. You know, if you're competitive, okay, and you're, you know, let's say you gamble. Let's say you play golf for money and you're competitive. Well, do you want your opponent to shoot bad and win, or do you want to be great and lose? Well, you know, it's a tough question. And of course, if it comes to money, you usually want to just win. But you want to be your best and deal with it from there. Because if you're your best, you can adjust. But if you're hoping on mediocrity, then you're going to end up with mediocre results. And that's what we're becoming. Is we're becoming, you know, everybody says, well, the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry, the best house in the bad neighborhood. I don't want to be any of those. I want to be the mansion, okay? I want to be the king. I want to be the person that has total control and doesn't have to continue to worry about this because, you know, now Helicopter Ben says we need to put out more money again. Now, do we never learn that the problems that this has caused from day one? This is becoming rather annoying overall. Because when we look at the big picture, all we're seeing is a gigantor mess. And there is no call or reason to have the kind of mess that they're creating for us. And you and I might not have to clean it up, but eventually this is going to have to be cleaned up. And eventually it's going to create, and I hate to say the word depression, but it could create a depression because you're going along lines that we've never seen before. And, you know, at some point, the printing presses have to stop. Okay, this is what happens in smaller economies that eventually they can't print anymore, they can't devalue anymore, and then they have to go bust. Okay, you know, we've seen it in a couple of states in this country. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going there, and I don't want to, you know, again, I'm not reaching out fear. I'm just telling you facts. These are facts that will eventually, I believe, cause a revolution because, again, you're just making too many poor people. And, you know, if you've been in this country for any amount of time, nobody wants to be among the poor people. You know, everybody strives or used to strive before we had so many entitlements going around. Used to strive for to make more. You know, you remember, keep up with the Joneses or keep up with the Smiths. And now they just want to keep up with the entitlement program. They don't care about keeping up with anything else. And that's the problem. But the problem, as they say, the shit rolls downhill. Okay, because when we continue to roll down problems, okay, it becomes somebody else's problem. It becomes a later problem, but we haven't solved it ourselves in the first place. So now you want to talk about how things get worse. That's how things get worse when you continue to ignore what's right in front of you, and you continue to try to be cute or clever about how you try to solve a problem. We know that it doesn't work. I mean, there's nobody on this show who doesn't realize that what they're doing cannot work. Because, again, if you've ever run a household budget or a business, you know that you cannot borrow your way out of debt. You can't print your way out of debt. You can't continue to do things. Eventually, there's hell to pay. Usually, it's bankruptcy court for most who have been in failing businesses. And, of course, nobody wants to go in there. And those are the problems that are arising. Okay? And the markets do look sick like dogs as well. But, hey, you know, that's the way life goes. And, you know, I always like to put you out there and warn, because warning is the best, because being prepared for the disaster is better than sitting around and waiting for it to happen. And unfortunately, with our current leader in place, we're always waiting for something bad to happen before we do anything. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Check out BubbaTrading.com. I'm begging you, check it out. You'll find out some good stuff, and I want you to get hedged. I'm just telling you. In the meantime, you can download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. It's a great spot to get it. We've got over 200,000 downloads a month, looking to get to 300,000. And also follow me at Bubba Average Joe, as well as like The Bubba Show on Facebook. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We will be right back after the break with Matt Demeter, The Bubba Show.
You're so delicious. You're so, so.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I have my friend, my buddy, and a newlywed on the show today, regular contributor, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. Just went out and got married. He's playing the probability of a marriage just like he does the charts. What's up, Matt Demeter? Congratulations.
Thanks, Todd. Much appreciated.
So, Matt, we still have a little bit of a mess out there, and you've been pretty much on target. But why don't you summarize, you know, what happened last week in according to what you were looking for and what we're looking for going forward?
Well, we are getting sell-offs. They're continuing in Europe and the Nikkei, so Japan. The rest of the world seems like it's, you know, slowly, you know, losing steam and rolling over. U.S., we're kind of chopping up near these higher levels. We really haven't sold off much there. But I think that's about to change any time now. The what's was really interesting in this latest COT report was the commercials have been loading up on volatility futures, and this past report showed they were already 3-to-1 net long volatility, and in this most recent report they were now almost up to 5-to-1. So this is about the level that we got to just before the August sell-off of last year.
So they're booking, or they're banking on the fact, I mean, they're really banking on a sell-off, but volatility doesn't have to come in a sell-off, but typically that's where it comes. So they're banking on really a sell-off or a much bigger increase in volatility, which makes sense, because when you start looking at the implied vol around, you know, a lot of these stocks and a lot of these indexes, they're basically at zero. I mean, obviously not zero, but they're basically just ridiculous, which from a trader's standpoint, these are the worst conditions you could possibly ask for as a pure out-and-out trader that's trying to trade in and out, because you just don't get enough price movement. So it's really hard to make money from that standpoint. But they're looking for a much bigger move. Usually when you watch these, you know, obviously there's no carved in concrete answer, and it's not going to happen on, you know, April 23rd. But when you look at it, typically when these guys start to make this big of a commitment, which means they're now pressing up into new levels and really going after it, typically from that point on, if they're right, usually how long does it take?
Well, you know, actually last time it was pretty quick. It was only about a week. They had elevated levels of they were net long through the beginning of, I think it was April of last year, and they just slowly increased until we got to August, where I believe they got to their highest level, and then we got the sell off. But they, you know, it was becoming apparent by May, and you know, May is when we actually peaked. We hit the price peak, but the sell off didn't become, you know, sort of vertical. Didn't get really volatile until August. So, but as far as their positioning now, it should be pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, I would look. So, I mean, look, nobody can tell you exactly when. You and I can look at a chart and say, this is what our expectations are, but it doesn't mean that it'll happen, you know, right at that moment. It doesn't mean that that's the exact spot. You know, charts themselves, footprints that markets leave take a lot of work, and they're not, oh, you know, they're not something you can set your watch by or your calendar by. You have to kind of just play them, and that's why you have to use discipline and diligence and money management when you're using this type of style of trade, because there's going to be times you're going to be wrong. But overall, in the long period of time, the key to the whole business is money management, and that's how you become successful, because when you are right, you get the much longer runs, correct?
Yeah, absolutely correct. And the way we've been handling the money management side is just we've been picking the indices that we think are already showing weakness, and that seems to be, you know, Europe and Japan.
Well, I mean, one of the things I always talk about and I make people aware of is, look, if you're bearish, you know, it's hard just to say you're bearish everything, because, you know, the whole market, just because the market may break doesn't mean that everything's going to go down with it. And what you want to do, though, is when you start to see bearish signs, you want to look for the weaker stocks or the weaker ETFs or whatever it is in the market, because those will typically lead the way first. So you want to pick on the weak when you're bullish or bearish, and when you're bullish, you want to start to find the ones that are stronger in a condition. Is that something that you look at when you're trading?
Absolutely. So we're just doing it country by country, but I mean, in terms of the U.S., you could do it by sector, and you know, some sectors are more overextended than others. I don't have a good feel for that right now, but you know, some of these defensive areas, you know, like utilities and consumer staples, are really elevated in terms of fundamentals, which we don't follow a lot. But you know, some of these stocks are, you know, they have very low growth and they're trading like growth companies.
Well, you know, I find the whole market, you know, fundamentally, as a trader, you don't give a rat's ass about fundamentals, because it's not important when you're trading technically. You're looking for, technical traders are looking for something, and that's what they're going to look for, and they're going to trade off of that. But of course, technical traders are typically not taking long-term ownership. I mean, you know, in my business, you know, when I'm trading actively, a long-term capital gain can be 5 minutes. Okay. Now you obviously go a little bit farther, but you're looking at the chart. But we're not worried about something that we're holding for the next 20 years. I mean, you know, when you're investing and you're using research like Matt offers, then you want to make sure you have solid fundamentals behind whatever you're looking. You don't buy on the fundamentals. You still have to trade off the technicals, but you want to make sure you have something that can sustain the rally you're looking for. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want to feel comfortable that even if I see something that's bottom technically, that it's not, well, you know, it's not fundamentally flawed. I mean, there is something that I think is quite strange, which is that I think the yen, the whole concept of the yen weakening because of the Japanese government, I think that trend is over. Trying to discover what the fundamentals might be, you know, for being bullish yen are tough right now, because, you know, it's all government based. But I think at some point they may throw in the towel on Abenomics, but I need to have a good sense of what the fundamentals would say too.
Let's just take you off topic for a moment. I know this is not the kind of work you did, but you said something very interesting, and I have a theory as well, so I want to get your opinion. This is more an opinion, not what you do for your career, but you said they might get rid of Abenomics, and I say that now all the central banks are intertwined, and now you got that Christine Lagarde talking about, you know, negative interest rates and all these things. And to me, I think that the central banks and the Fed and the IMF are too far committed to what they've done, and they're never going to get rid of these stupid policies until the market actually does finally collapse worldwide and we go into a thing where we can restart things out. You have any opinion of that?
Oh, I totally agree. I think, you know, my overall view is I think we're going to have a big retrenchment here. When it's finished, we're going to see much higher levels in equities. So what I'm thinking that is, if I have to, you know, guess what is the backdrop for that, I'm guessing that it's going to be huge, you know, monetary expansion. All central banks will be printing. And, you know, that'll launch all asset classes up, you know, relative to currency. As far as yen, it may, what I'm seeing is that the yen may weaken again, you know, short term, but that it's going to have a dramatic strengthening cycle coming up, where I think it's going to hit new all-time highs it hasn't seen before. And the only way I can, like I said, either that's going to be Abenomics gets thrown out, or all the other central banks print more, that they begin their printing cycles in a much, you know, much greater amounts, specifically the Fed and the dollar, which I think is coming.
Well, we know that as long as the Fed has paper and ink, they're going to keep printing. That's the old, the old theory. They don't care, because, of course, if you listen to some of the, you know, there's obviously two sides of every story, and depending on what side you sit on the Fed. I mean, I was always a fence sitter when it came to the Fed. I was never quite sure they were any good or knew what the hell they were doing. And now I'm convinced they have no idea what the hell they're doing, because what they're doing is really just destructing an overall economy, creating a house of cards and money, not creating anything really good for companies, because they're not helping companies build, which is really what monetary policy is really meant to. It's not meant to make the stock market go up. What do you think?
Yeah, they're just, you know, they're just, for what, 15, 20 years, maybe longer, they've just been, you know, inflating asset bubbles, which is great for, you know, for certain, you know, investing classes. But, you know, it's really, and it's great for companies that want to issue debt with these super low levels of interest rates. But, I mean, it eventually this balloon, it's basically a balloon that they're blowing up to the point where the physics of it just gets too crazy and has to deflate. And I think that's that big deflation is what everybody's waiting for to happen. I think everybody knows the math doesn't work, and that's eventually going to be the outcome. But it's just a question of when, really.
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, obviously, if you go back to Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen, are all they are good at is building bubbles and forcing things that are unnatural. And they've really taken away the free market price discovery model of, you know, real of asset classes really allow to price themselves. And of course, to us, it doesn't matter in a long picture. It just matters that it makes it sometimes more challenging when you have too many outside interferences in a market. It never changes the footprints, because footprints are footprints. They have nothing to do with what they're doing. But it does destruct the actual asset pricing. And there's nothing better than assets self-pricing themselves, because at the end of the day, that's what they do. But this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the newlywed Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. We'll be back after the break, but before we go, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. You can always pick up Matt. He's on every week telling you about what's going on and what he sees in the marketplace. And also go to bubbatrading.com. But libertytalk.fm gets you the download. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out for a break here. We'll be back with more from Matt right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I was proud.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm hanging out with my friend Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And remember his gold guarantee. Are you still offering that week, young man?
Yeah, definitely. It's still offering it.
The gold guarantee. Tell us about it real quick.
Sure. It's risk-free. We have our target for gold, and it's a very well-defined line that we're expecting to be hit. We don't believe gold has bottomed yet. So we're very anxious for gold to bottom. The way it works is when we hit our target, we're going to send out an alert, an email alert, and a text alert, and it's free. And if we're right, if we nail the bottom, as we expect we will, then we'll charge $49 for that. If we're wrong, we charge nothing.
And there you go. See, it can't get better. That's his wedding gift to you. He just got married and a newlywed, and he's taking time from his honeymoon to make sure he comes and talks to us, because he doesn't want to miss out. Make sure you guys are ready to go. All right, Matt. So, you know we liked wheat. I agreed with you, and wheat has been now under siege and under pressure, and now coming back down towards that low What are you looking for here in the wheat market and the rest of the greens? Because we're both looking at it from one way, and it's kind of going the opposite way. But it's obviously all of them have been kind of in a wild consolidation pattern. So what are you seeing now?
Well, we're still bullish. Wheat hasn't broken its major support. It's just kind of lying on top of it. So, you know, we're still bullish. We're just trying to wait this out. We're pairing it with a short against corn and soybeans. Corn actually isn't looking as bad as it was earlier as far as the COT structure. Soybeans, however, are looking fairly bearish. And we still believe, you know, wheat will. It's just this is going to be a longer trade than we expected, but we still believe wheat will outperform corn and soybeans as a pair trade.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I'm actually kind of bullish the whole space. But I tell you what, I wrote in my weekly report about the grains. I said I thought wheat was, you know, somewhere down near a bottom, and you look to buy it. It looks pretty much range bound right now, and I'm looking at the near term, which is 450 to 485. In there, and I thought that soybeans around 920 in the near term contract was resistance. Now we busted out above that, but of course it's not a final score yet. And I think that if I look at it, corn had a 6-day rally, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't like it went up a lot. It just kind of was green for 6 days, and then got a little bit of a sell off. And I think corn's probably going to go back and at least test 355. And I think beans, if they can get back below 920, I think they're going to go back under $9. And I think in my opinion, the beans have to print a new contract low before they get really bullish again. Any thoughts to that?
No, I agree 100% with everything you just said. I do think soybeans need to make a new low as well. One trade that we put on recently, it's probably getting, you know, about halfway through. We got long cotton, and we got short sugar, and both of those have both done well. So we're happy with that. Cotton is very bullish as far as the COT structure, and sugar's been recently been fairly bearish. So, and the charts line up right. So we made that trade. I believe cotton's made a very long-term low. Or I may need to look at the chart again, but it's at least made a intermediate term low.
Oh, I wouldn't agree. Again, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and commodities especially always run one way too far or the other. They're never just in the sweet spot. I mean, they just do what they do, and that's why, you know, we warn. And again, it's not if to us it doesn't matter what the product is. It's only about the footprint that we're looking at. I mean, we're not going out and talking to cotton farmers. We're looking at a chart saying, hey, this is what we expect. So, Matt, we've got, you know, markets that really are kind of sloppy here. And I think Friday's action was really sloppy. In fact, you know, we were down big, then we ended up rallying huge. And then, you know, midday we broke. And, you know, we closed up. But the markets looked like they're looking for, like, a reason. Now, you and I don't care about the reason. But, it feels like they're looking for a reason just to get cracked and to see another day like August 24th or an extended period like we had for the first 6 weeks of this year. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, Friday, you know, kind of almost felt like it was actually an up day, but it actually felt like it was a down day because of the way, you know, traded. But I think we're just chopping here, and we're getting ready for a sizable drop.
I mean, it just feels that way. And again, we're not predicting. Remember, we don't predict doom and gloom. Matt, when he looks at the chart, he's just looking straight at the numbers, and it's got nothing to do with what he thinks. It's got nothing to do with the worldwide economy. It's this chart says it's time to buy or it says to sell, and that's what he's going to do. And I think that's important to recognize as independence. And that's why I think that, you know, you check out a guy like Matt's information, because he's not putting his opinion into it. He's not trying to scare you into doing something. He's saying, hey, this is what I think. This is what my charts tell me. And that's kind of the technical analysis that you use. Is that not right, sir?
That's absolutely true. And, you know, it's going to go the other way, too. When we feel we've bottomed, we want to get heavily long. And I'm, you know, I know you do the same thing.
And that's what it's about. So, Matt, what do you see in oil? I think oil is getting a little bit extended here as well. I mean, I thought it was a good pick, but I think now it looks like it should work its way back down, probably into the low 30s. What are you seeing?
You know, I agree. Actually, I think when we got up here to 40, it's about $40 and a half. I think that hit our declining target line. It was a little hit it at because it's a declining line. It hit it at a lower level, but than our actual peak last month. But I agree with you. I think we're going to have another sell-off here.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not that we're bearish or bullish or whatever, again, it really comes down to the market action. The market indicates times to get in and out. And I just want to remind everybody about the 208, you know, debacle. You had plenty of time. Matt, would you agree that most people, what happens is that they let their emotions take over once they see something happening? And in 08, when the market first started to sell off, you had all ample opportunity to sell out because we had major, huge rallies once the sell-off started. But you had to have you had to say, okay, I want to get out because I can see that there's a problem coming. But most people got stubborn and then ended up saying they let their emotions take over. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, in doing this is just – if you just trade it in terms of, you know, it's all about euphoria and depression. And when everybody says, oh, the market's bouncing back now, everything's going to be good again. Yeah, that's when you want to be skeptical and, you know, sell into it. And when, you know, everybody says the sky is falling and, you know, it's all doom and gloom, that's pretty much when you want to be, you just want to do the opposite of what you're seeing on TV, mainstream media. And, you know, people are too excited. It's time to sell and too depressed. Time to buy.
Exactly. And one of the things I really hate most, Matt, and one of the things I really respect about a guy like you who does what you do is you're not talking your book of business. You're not talking anything. You're talking purely, this is where we are. And you gain no brokerage commission from guys that do things. You're strictly a guy who puts on a trade based on what you read, and you have no interest other than you're going to have a financial to yourself if it goes up or down, but you're not getting a commission from customers who are paying you to execute these trades, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I don't want to trade a trade. I don't make any money based on commissions at all. We just want to, you know, we just want to get it right. We want to get direction right in any market we're looking at.
And that's what it's about. See, again, this is what we, Matt and I, like to always share, which is why Matt comes on here, because it's not about what we think. I mean, you know, Matt is not as boisterous about his opinion as I am with mine, but I think we're way overdone, and I think we're going a lot lower. But again, my words for the last few weeks have really to observe the market, because with low volatility and low volume, it makes it a much tougher trade, and that's one of the things that we need. Matt, how important is volume in your work when you do it?
Volume is important, but more price is far more important to me. And, you know, the indicators too, I really like RSI is a pretty decent indicator. If all you did was use a daily chart and bought, you know, RSI levels below 30 and sold above 70, you'd have a winning trading strategy right there. So, I mean, and I think volume is built into some of the RSI and other indicators. So it's easy to follow. And yeah, so I'm mainly price and a few indicators.
All right, and that's great. And we'd like to keep Matt longer, but of course, he's probably resting. He's probably exhausted and he's on his honeymoon, so we don't want to keep him away from his lovely bride. Matt, thanks for coming on as usual.
Thanks a lot, Todd. I appreciate it.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you want to hear Matt. You get to hear Matt every week. Make sure you download it at libertytalk.fm. Every show is available for download. We just pushed over 200,000. We're now shooting for 3. Make sure you follow me at Bubba Average Joe on Twitter and go like The Bubba Show on Facebook. This has been The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We thank you for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.